Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, faulty blocks, crumbling homes. Barry Lenehan is in Donegal this morning as crunch talks loom over a redress scheme for families affected by mica and pyrite. It was an explosive debate in the Dáil last night, but what are the repercussions after the vote of confidence in Simon Coveney? Fionnán Sheehan will be here shortly. We'll hear from the front line in intensive care medicine as staff continue to treat seriously ill COVID patients. Do your homework. Do your homework. Do your homework. Sound familiar? Well, there's strong support now for getting rid of it altogether for primary school children. More on that later. Back to the office for many in the coming weeks, but you can't bring the fridge with you. So what can you pack for lunch to brighten up your workday? Chef Holly Dalton has some great ideas. You can text us this morning, 51551. Email today, cb@rte.ie, or on Twitter, we are at Today with Claire. Government officials and mica homeowners are to hold crunch talks tomorrow over the future of a state redress scheme for thousands of families, primarily in Donegal, whose houses are crumbling away due to defective blocks. The talks come amid growing anxiety within government over the escalating costs of the scheme and the political implications of not offering homeowners 100% redress. Now, church leaders are to visit affected families in Donegal later today and are anticipated to back those calls for greater state compensation for mica homeowners. Our reporter Barry Lenehan has been following this story over the past few months and he's back in Donegal for us this morning. So Barry, what's the picture there? What has changed since your last visit?
Yeah, good morning, Claire. And I'm talking to you once again from the Diamond in Carndonagh in the Inishowen Peninsula. As we know, between 5,000 and 7,000 homes, maybe even more across Donegal, affected by mica. And families argue they can't afford to repair or rebuild their houses as the government redress scheme still leaves them facing six-figure bills in some cases. Now, the last time I was standing in this exact same spot, it was a week before that large protest in Dublin demanding 100% redress and the establishment by Housing Minister Dara O'Brien of a special mica working group to recommend changes to the redress scheme. Now, that group, comprising Department of Housing officials and homeowner representatives, it will hold a key meeting at this exact time tomorrow. Mica homeowners, they'll submit their final demands and it's believed they'll tell the government they'll settle for nothing less than 100% redress and a 40-year state guarantee for homes partially rebuilt. They'll also push for redress for non-primary residences and a public inquiry into the crisis. Now, up until now, the department has resisted all of these demands and remains on a collision course with campaigners ahead of tomorrow's key meeting, as it has said that householders should have to pay 10% of repair costs. But if any agreement can be found, and it's a big if, the working group will present a report to the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, by the 30th of September, and he must then decide whether the government will offer full compensation, with no inkling as to when he might make that decision.
So Barry, as the talking goes on, what about the families where you are this morning? What's been happening in recent weeks?
So as the clock ticks, the cracks widen, and one family in the Finn Valley, they told a protest in Lifford on Saturday how a lump of falling concrete recently missed their daughter by the narrowest of margins. Now, that event in Lifford, it's part of a wave of fresh demonstrations, with mica homeowners also threatening recently to halt their mortgage repayments if banks don't support their campaign. Now, houses, they've also started to come down around here in recent weeks. 16 mica-riddled homes in Donegal have already been demolished under the redress scheme. One of those was in late July in Buncrana, where Gary Breslin lived with his wife Emma and children Lacey and Cole. That home was built with a 145,000 mortgage in 2007, but now the Breslins must live in a mobile home as their house is rebuilt. And Gary has been telling me of the difficulties he's facing already in sourcing building materials amid rising construction costs.
Oh, we started dating over 20 years ago, and it came to a point where we thought we better bite the bullet now and start building our house. The first time we built it, January, before it was finished, 2007, I took her into the unfinished sitting room and asked her to marry me. She said yes. We had two kids, reared them up in the house so far, and we got so far, and then it all sort of came crashing down.
What are we looking at here at the moment?
Well, this is my 145,000 hole in the ground. I have taken the house down. Luckily enough, I got a contractor, got built up now to my footings again. It's just a waiting game now for the rest of it, the slabs and everything to come.
And all the bricks, all the bad blocks just over here to our left from what was your home.
My roof and all my slabs and all my blocks and all my tiles, everything is sitting over there now. Just every time we leave the house we can see it, what our house used to be. Try my best not to look at it when I go away, but when I come home, I've been coming home the same way for the last 15 years. I'm just used to seeing the house, and now I can see the house next door. I keep on wondering where's my house going. It hits home just as I'm about to enter the street. There's no house here. And I look, and then it's all sitting on the field next door. It depresses you every time you look over there.
When the house was demolished, you had to lift the roof. The first room that could be seen when the roof was lifted, the pink wallpaper.
Sitting in our mobile home looking out, and my wee girl started crying. She looking out through a hole in the wall, seeing her pink room, and she could see the sky, the other side of it. The roof was gone. 2 days later, there was no house. There was no pink room. She was up in the middle of the night crying. No, she missed her little room.
You've engaged with the redress scheme, trying to build a new house, but it's not plain sailing. What challenges have you faced so far?
Well, everything is slow. Everything to do with the council and the scheme itself is very, very slow. And ever since Brexit and everything, inflation, things have gone up 20-30%, and the scheme hasn't gone up with it. I'm already 65,000 down. There's at least 5,000 houses on the scheme, but there's not 5,000 builders about, and there's not 5,000 contractors.
So we're here in the mobile home on site.
Anytime we're all sitting in here together, we're thinking, right, how can we get out? We're okay now where we can leave and we don't annoy each other too much, but in the middle of winter and it's cold and wet outside and we're all in here together, we're going to just be at each other's throats and hopefully we'll get through it. There is nowhere in Buncrana alone to rent at the minute, and even if you can, you can't pay rent and pay mortgage at the same time. Altogether, you're talking maybe 13,500 we've put onto this. Most of it we won't get back.
Was it hard to come to the realisation that you'd be stuck here in a mobile home looking out on what was the dream house?
Every time you come home and you look out and you see the hole in the ground that where the house was, and you're thinking, I don't know, can we do it? Everybody says I'm very upbeat about it now, but behind closed doors, no, I wouldn't be. But I try and sort of put on a brave face in front of everybody. Once the door's closed and you're in on your own, it starts getting to you. The tears come every now and again, just thinking about it. It's just heartbreaking.
It's a desperate situation for Gary Breslin in Buncrana. And he mentioned, Barry, the rising cost of building materials. We discussed that on the programme already this week. And we see the lead headline in the Irish Times this morning. It says, State faces escalating repair bill for homes hit by mica. So is there any handle on just how much the redress scheme is going to cost the Exchequer?
Well, the Department of Housing had previously put an upper limit of 2.5 billion on the scheme, but that was when it was only open to homeowners in Donegal and Mayo. And as I've been reporting in recent months, houses affected by bad blocks in Clare, Limerick, Tipperary, Sligo, Darragh O'Brien's own constituency, Dublin, Fingal, all also want access to redress. Some more counties, rising construction costs, but there's also the prospect of all homes having to be demolished rather than partially rebuilt, driving the cost upwards again. One engineer working with mica homeowners, Dr. Ambrose McCluskey, he withdrew from the scheme earlier this year as he said he couldn't sign off on houses that were only repaired rather than fully rebuilt, and it's believed other engineers now share his view. Josephine Kelly and Sean McGee live just outside Buncrana with their daughter Rachel. Cracks started to appear in their dream house in 2010, and in 2017, with no scheme in place, they stumped up €40,000 to repair the outer leaf of their home. However, 2 years later, cracks reappeared. They say they'd only recommend a full rebuild.
Well, we took out a loan out of the credit union, and it worked out at around about 40,000. to fix the outer leaf. But as you can see yourself, it doesn't really seem to be working. Crack it inside here and there's a few cracks in that gable there.
40,000 in 2017 to fix the outer leaf of the house. And as we can see here, cracks, vertical cracks appearing outside and inside as well.
We're going to have to start and do the whole thing again. And that's what I think. I think it's a dead loss, to be honest with you.
It was 2 years after the outer leaf repair that the cracks started appearing inside and outside again. So that's how quick that it deteriorated again. So that didn't last long, the repairs. We had lived in this house while it was being repaired, and it was like Beirut living here. That's the only way I can describe it. You were inside and all you could hear was your walls coming down. This is not a solution. It's not a solution for fixing mica. 4 years ago there was no talk of demolition. Engineers know more about it now. We should be warning people that this isn't the solution, that the only solution is to take every single block out and start again.
That is significant, because the government perhaps will be hoping that some homes may not need full demolition as the cost here is rising with every day.
An engineer has told us we might get 5 more years in this house and we will have to tumble our house as well. So,
well, the only thing we've done, I think, we just bought ourselves time. That's all we've done. Plus the fact we had no other money to sort of put anything more into this house. You know what I mean? We need 100%. That's what we need.
Josephine, you appeared at the Fianna Fáil Think-In last week in protest, and you brought your daughter along as well.
They were very reluctant. They won't mention 100%. They haven't said it out loud. They're not committed to it or have said it. Our little girl was reared in a mica house and she can't bear the word mica. She leaves the room. We have to drag her to these places. So I told her we're going on a mystery tour. She says, I bet you it's a mica protest. And that's her life, is protesting and begging a government to save her home. Mica is slow torture. The last thing that goes through your head at night before you close your eyes is, I hope to God this house doesn't fall in the middle of the night. And that's, I can say that's for every mica homeowner. Mica is a runaway train now at this stage. That's a major disaster for this country.
It's Josephine and Sean. What about the housing situation in Donegal, Barry? What are you hearing there? Because families will have to seek alternative accommodation if and when their homes are being rebuilt.
Homelessness in the Northwest is increasing faster than any other region in the country, we're told, with Northwest Simon estimating around 90 people a week in the region are in need of emergency accommodation. They also say that if just 1% of private homeowners affected by mica in Donegal need to move out of their home at any one time, there wouldn't be enough properties available to rent in the entire region to accommodate them. One cohort who feel particularly vulnerable at the moment are private tenants in mica affected homes. These houses aren't eligible for redress, as the scheme only applies, as we know, to primary residences. And one situation I'm aware of in Buncrana, you have two neighbours, semi-detached houses joined together, one house earmarked to be levelled, but the one next to it can't, as the family is renting from an owner based in Derry. And all these problems and conundrums emerging in recent weeks around semi-detached and terraced houses especially. But Connie McDade and Stacey McLaughlin, they're renters in Malinhead with their respective families. Their houses are cracking and crumbling, and eventually they fear they'll have nowhere to go.
We're just concerned about how safe the house is, and that if we have to unfortunately move out, there's no places around where we could rent, move into. There's not many houses available, so you're just kind of wondering where will we go next.
It's fine inside, but the outside is pretty bad. The chimney is the worst of it, and it's just, we're concerned about winter time.
So the landlord, for him, he wouldn't qualify under the scheme, and you're left to
yeah,
live here instead.
Problem is that we love the house. This is a family home for us. We expected to be here for the rest of our lives. We just don't know if we're told to move, where do we go? Do we go back to a home house? Elderly parents, we can't go back there. Like, it's not good for us to be trying to raise a family in.
When you see potentially 5,000 homes that will qualify for the scheme, and they'll all need somewhere to go as well.
Landlords do deserve it as well. They deserve the help as well as residential homes. There's nothing to say that they are any well off better than anybody else, and they have their own bills to pay. I do believe it should be a case for all houses. It took us 6 years to get something that was appropriate. The houses we've been in have either been too small, mouldy, wasn't well to be living in. It's holiday homes, that's all. They're very unwilling to consider even long-term rent.
It's sad, like, because it's beautiful down here, and as Stacey says, there's just holiday homes, and they would probably make more money over the summer months, you know, than renting long term to families.
The home is just going to get worse.
It's going to get that bad that it's going to be dangerous to live in, especially when you've children. You can't do it, like, hearing bits falling off your house, like, it's not nice.
situation for Connie and Stacey and Malin Head. And ahead of that crunch meeting tomorrow, Catholic bishops and Church of Ireland bishops will visit MICA-affected homes later this afternoon here in Donegal. Michael Doherty of the MICA Action Group, who sits on the special working group, has been telling me more.
Not just our Catholic bishops, but also our Church of Ireland bishops' attendance at some of our family homes to see firsthand what it is that their parishioners are putting up with. It certainly is unprecedented, and I'm not sure it ever happened in the history of the state, but I do believe that it's a measure of the humanitarian crisis that we're now facing. We're really at the end of the road where we've nowhere left to go. We have got a final position document sitting ready to be presented in the morning, tomorrow morning, and where we're going to be at the end of that is really in the hands of what government decide to do about it. Our experiences to date would suggest that they will try to whittle that back, and that's something we're not prepared to accept. It's from the people. It's from the people that can take no more. They're broken, but they are not defeated.
If the department see your position paper tomorrow and say 100% we're not giving it?
Well, I think that'll be them revealing their true colours. There's a school of thought out there that they never ever wanted to do it in the first place, that the working group forum was something in which they would try to manage down our expectations. They were very frustrating through the entire process, to be honest. We went in to engage in how we would facilitate 100% redress scheme. Instead of that, what we found was a defence of the existing scheme, which had ultimately failed, and we all knew that.
If officials agree to what you're suggesting in the position paper, the working group presents a report to the Minister, Darragh O'Brien, by the 30th of September. What happens then? What guarantees do we have that the Minister will actually act on those recommendations?
Well, I think this is where the political pressure has to be then applied, particularly with the in-power TDs from the affected counties, all 15 of them. We will make it very difficult for them not to do it, the right thing, and whatever that takes, we're prepared to do it. We're at the end of the road up here in Donegal in terms of what we're prepared to put up with. With houses falling down around us, we're not in a position to kick this can down the road anymore.
Will there be further protests?
Absolutely, further protests, and the 8th of October is already penciled in there if this doesn't go the way it needs to be. You know, if it's not where it needs to be, we need to just take the next steps to go and force the hand even further to ensure that the right thing is done in the end.
That's Michael Doherty. What's the Department of Housing saying this morning, Barry?
It declined to answer a list of specific questions, but said engagement with the working group is ongoing and no final positions have thus far been decided by the department. But with a decrease in government majority and 12 TDs backing 100% redress, interesting political eyes will be on that meeting tomorrow morning.
Barry Lenehan and Karen Donna, thank you very much indeed. I'm joined on the line now by Fine Gael TD for Donegal and former Minister Joe McHugh. Thanks for speaking to us this morning. I know you were listening to Barry's report there. During yesterday's confidence motion on your colleague Simon Coveney, you raised the MICA issue very specifically. So ahead of the crunch talks, what do you believe needs to be done by government now?
Well, first of all, good morning, Claire, and thanks for having me on. And just want to acknowledge Barry's work. He's been very engaged and he's really, really reached out. And I think that report, anybody listening to that this morning, will know exactly what's happening and what needs to be done. I've engaged quite closely with the MICA group over the month of August, and I just want to acknowledge what they've done. They've worked closely with SEAI, they've done their costings, they've incorporated in a mathematical model, they've put in an enormous amount of work. So I just want to wish them well tomorrow, and I hope that the outcome that they're looking for is the outcome that's the right one. The only reservation I have in this whole process, and I talk from past experience when I was involved in the so-called 90-10 scheme. We signed off on it politically. Pascal Donoghue and Owen Murphy signed the statutory instrument and was for a 90-10 scheme. And I believe to this day that if that scheme was honoured in the way that it should have been done in terms of the conditions that were applied therein, we may not have even have been here today, because that 90-10 scheme effectively became a 70-30, in some cases a 60-40 scheme.
So what happened there? Because you're saying that 90% redress was agreed and you believe that the people affected by this would have accepted that. But what happened to renege on that agreement?
What happened was different caveats were introduced to introduce different cost measures. So effectively, if somebody had a 300,000 euro house, it was going to cost them upwards on 100,000, as Barry talked about the six-figure sums that people are being faced with. So what happened was the scheme was politically signed off on, and like anything in politics, you have a policy as a government, and then once the officials start digging down and delving into it, we came out with a scheme that was not workable, is not workable, and even today.
But it's not the officials who run the country. I mean, if it was politically signed off on, what happened?
Well, what happened was the scheme that was implemented was not a 90-10 scheme.
So by officials, you're saying?
By officials and deeper, because that's where my battle line was and a minister for Donegal.
I just want to be really clear on this. You're saying that officials at the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform reneged on a deal that was signed off politically by the government?
I do, because what happened was initially the scheme that was presented to us by the officials was an 80-20 scheme. So we had an absolutely heartbreaking process in trying to move to a 100% scheme. We got as far, it went to 16% contribution, it went to a 12.5% contribution. And we fought to push for a 100% scheme at the time. We only got as far as a 10% contribution. The Mica group at the time and families said, yeah, they accepted that in terms of the bona fides. They weren't happy with it, but they said, we'll accept it. Okay. We'll try and work it.
And so now they're seeking 100%, and we can hear why they would ask for that. The budget for 2022 is only a few short weeks away. Is this a budget issue?
This is an issue wider than next year's budget. This is an issue where we need money for the long term, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. We're talking about a massive injection of capital. Pascal Donoghue spoke at our parliamentary think-in on Monday and Tuesday, and he was talking about borrowing and being able to borrow on the capital side. So we have to find the money. We as a government have to bite the bullet. The officials, yes, they have to work on their multi-annual budgets. They have to work on their budget lines in the 2022 budget, and they have X amount of money. And we all live in the real world. However, we're dealing with an national and emergency. We're dealing with an issue that Barry has, you know, represented there this morning in all his different interviews and all his different contacts with people in Donegal. I spoke to a secondary school teacher this morning. He's got Mica. He's dealing with that process. He's an upbeat personality. He's a positive character. He tries to go into the classroom, but he's gone into a classroom in Carndona, into different classes, where he's meeting students now that this issue has filtered down to them. They're dealing with it. They're dealing with the heartbreak of Mica and their homes and looking at their future. So the students that he has in the class from Glengad and Kildare and Cairn and Uris and Glamani, they're all affected directly and indirectly. So this isn't a national emergency. The houses are broken. The houses need to be fixed, yes, but the shift in terms of the policy on this has to move to the lives that are broken. And this is not about potentially broken lives. There are a lot of lives broken here. Marriage is under pressure, a lot of pressure. And if we don't do the right thing and make a political intervention, this requires a political intervention from the top, from the Taoiseach, from the Taoiseach, to ensure that we do the right thing. It's not a parochial issue for me as a Donegal TD. It's not a Mayo issue for my colleagues in Mayo. It's Limerick, it's Tipperary, it's Clare, it's Sligo, and other counties will emerge as well. So we have to deal with this national crisis, national emergency, and we have to do it now.
All right, separately from yesterday's confidence motion, Sinn Féin TD Matt Carthy accused under Dáil Privilege your party colleague and Minister for Higher Education Simon Harris of leaking the Catherine Sapone story from Cabinet. Would you like to see an investigation into this matter?
Well, look, it's a serious allegation. It's an allegation of a criminal nature. And yes, once that's raised, there has to be it has to be looked at. But I think, out of respect to Simon, where the accusation was levelled, he's speaking at lunchtime, and no doubt those questions will be put to him as well. And Simon will be able to explain. He's already came out straight away once the allegation was made last night to deny it. And like a lot of stuff in Leinster House, and we deal with it all the time. We deal with rumours and innuendo and leaks and all that. And the reason why I deviated from the actual debate last night to raise the Mica issue is that there's so many more issues and important issues out there that need to be discussed. But anything of a criminal, an allegation of a criminal nature like this, it's a serious allegation. And Simon was named in relation to this. Simon will have an opportunity to explain.
What should happen?
Look, this is unprecedented, I think, for a TD using Dáil privilege to make this accusation. I think if Deputy Matt Carty has evidence of this, that should be forthcoming as well. But obviously, the Taoiseach will be taking this issue very seriously as well.
Okay.
But no less than Simon Harris, who defended himself straight away last night, and will do so today as well.
Okay, Joe McHugh, thank you for joining us.